This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Philip. We're turning our attention to mental health, given that yesterday was World Mental Health Day. And it's encouraging to see that Malaysia has made some positive progress when it comes to mental health measures. The government launched the National Strategic Plan for Mental Health 2020-2025 yesterday. And last week, the Home Ministry and AG's Chambers agreed to back efforts when it comes to decriminalising suicide.
Now, these steps are very much welcome, and efforts to decriminalise suicide has been on the radar for some time now. And according to the Royal Malaysian Police Force, we unfortunately recorded over 400 suicide cases in the first 5 months of 2021, which is up from a total of 631 cases in total for 2020. Now, the Malaysian Mental Health Association also has some stats to share. They recorded a more than twofold increase in people seeking help related to stress throughout 2020 compared to 2019. So while we're trying to shake off the stigma that comes with mental health issues, are we doing enough in terms of prioritising mental health measures and awareness?
Joining us on the line to talk about the efforts that have been made so far to address this is Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP of Kuching and an advocate for mental health matters. Thanks for joining us, Kelvin. Good morning. What are your thoughts, first of all, on the efforts to decriminalise suicide after the Home Ministry and the AG's Chambers finally agreed to push this move through?
Thank you so much for having me. This is something I fully support. However, I do urge that we will not be delayed any further. The government must set a clear timeline. And my proposal is that it be tabled in the next budget session at the end of October. Even although I personally have heard there have been some pushbacks by some agencies even after the announcements that was made, and concerns were raised on the act of decriminalizing itself. But in my view, again, there is no evidence that criminalizing suicide acts as a deterrent, and it actually has a very negative effect. It's further marginalizing people from trying to access the very much needed need for mental health services. So again, putting a suicidal person through a criminal justice system is harmful. And most important, the strongest risk factor of suicide is, of course, the previous attempt. So it must not be delayed. The data and science speaks for itself, and the answers the different concerns raised by the different agencies and people.
So yesterday, the Ministry of Health launched the National Strategic Plan for Mental Health 2020 to 2025. Like it?
Basically, it is launched by YBKJ yesterday, but this was in the conversations actually since 2019, where a National Strategic Action Plan for Mental Health was launched for 2019 to 2025. I think it has this plan encompasses four main sections and, of course, 8 strategies. Number one, of course, enhancing government, regulatory framework, increasing mental health surveillance, ensuring availability and accessibility, resources, intra and outra sector, and many more. So this looks comprehensive, and I think it is a good move, especially with the talk of launching a National Center of Excellence for Mental Health, which again is not a new thing. It's been in the talk since, if I'm not mistaken, 2019. So that can act as a one-stop center where data and also research be further enhanced and utilized on mental health and how we can address this on a more holistic level.
But I want to get practical here, Kelvin. I mean, how do we ensure the accessibility of comprehensive and quality mental health services, not just in the Klang Valley, but throughout the country, especially in rural areas?
I think, as you mentioned just now, awareness, education, the things that we've been trying to do, destigmatizing is good. But I think the best way to increase accessibility is for the government to increase the number of mental health workers to support the nation's needs and to ensure all access in all areas, including rural areas and any other demographics. I can give you statistics. The number of psychiatrists in the country, for instance, is way short of target. There are about 410 registered psychiatrists in Malaysia, with a psychiatrist population ratio to 1.27 to 100,000, which is far lower than WHO's recommendation of 1 to 10,000. So that has to be addressed. And also, there is a huge disparity in the distribution of psychiatrists nationwide. As you know, KL has the best ratio of 5.24 per 100,000, while Sabah, Kedah has the lowest ratio of 0.54 and 0.55 per 100,000 respectively. So this is where there is more efforts is needed to address the dire mental health needs of the population, especially during this pandemic.
And let's not forget about children too, because the National Health and Morbidity Survey 2019 found that over 400,000 children were experiencing mental health problems. What do you think, what kind of support should we be giving to them?
This is a very important aspect. I think that National Morbidity Survey 2019 also state that nearly 1 in 10 children aged between 10 to 15 have mental health issues. And this is something that is concerning. This is before the pandemic itself. We must not forget that during this pandemic, it also affects the mental health of our children, especially them not being able to go to school, have social interactions with their friends, prolonged stay at home or indoors. This has a lot of mental health issues to our children. So as I said, accessibility has to be increased, training, specific targeted therapy, targeted support for our children to make sure that they get the necessary support and they're okay, especially with schools opening now and there is another drastic change in their life in the coming months.
Now, you've asked for the revival of the National Mental Health Registry to ensure comprehensive coverage of mental disorders. Is that up and running?
I do hope so. I think it wasn't mentioned yesterday by the YB minister, but it's something that we've been pushing for since the beginning, including a national suicide registry so that we can get clear and comprehensive data as well as to frame targeted interventions if needed. Actually, there is one, but it has been defunct since 2016. And then I just feel that it has to be, come up running again so that we have clear picture for example, suicide cases in Malaysia so that we can do the necessary interventions.
Kelvin, can I understand why it went defunct?
I don't have the answer by the ministry. I think there could be some concerns raised, including how suicide is being reported. Certain families have maybe a certain taboo or stigma for it to be reported. Most of these cases sometimes are reported as sudden deaths rather than suicide itself. So I don't have the exact reason why they do it, but I feel that the good, of course, outweighs probably the cons of it, and it's important for us to address it holistically and specifically.
Now, you've also called for a national post-pandemic mental health plan to address the rise of mental health cases caused by the pandemic. I mean, what kind of plan do you hope to have, and how will it help those who are suffering from mental health issues?
I think this plan it can be incorporated under the National Strategic Plan, but this is a bit more specific and holistic, specifically dealing with the impacts of the pandemic. So we need to examine the core issue addressing, for example, the increase of mental health issues among people in this pandemic, whether it's anxiety, whether it's economic reasons, and this is of course towards adults and children. And then they must have this multi-agency effort to address the ecosystem of mental health, the biosocial and the psychological. So if it is economic, it is a multi-agency to address the economic issues. If it's other issues, multi-agency to address those issues. So this is very specific towards the pandemic and crafting a mental health plan for any pandemic, not just the COVID-19.
Kelvin, I have one more question, and one group of people I'm concerned about, and that's the frontliners. And they've been under undue mental stress. I mean, what are we doing for them as a government?
I think the government could do much more better. I think the frontliners, actually, there was a study conducted by the Institute of Behavioral Change Malaysia, IBTK, in 2020, found that 14.2% of Ministry of Health frontliner workers suffer from mental health disorders. And I think this is even exacerbated, especially during this pandemic, due to high workload, due to anxiety or the disease, and a lot of times due to inability to be with their family members, especially if they are working in different districts and regions. So I think this is something that we need to focus upon. I think the government has some call centers and so on and so forth, but it is insufficient. I think we're getting a lot of there was a very, for me, depressing news come out a few days ago in Sarike in Sarawak, which says that the frontliner says, we rather get COVID so that we can have time to rest. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we really need to address and we listen to them, not punish them, not go to a witch hunt, but listen and then address it holistically.
Kelvin, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP of Kuching, ending the conversation with a really sobering reality check on just the difficulties that our medical frontliners are facing in this pandemic, and really asking the question of whether we're giving them enough mental health support. And I think people forget that if you're mentally strong, you will be able to face challenges a lot better. So mental health has an economic cost, and I think it's something that we really need to be aware of and to address clearly.
Yeah, there's a lot about policy, but eventually, right, you have to get the family also involved in this and have the conversation, because that's how you're going to basically get people to then talk to the psychiatrist and the therapist.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know what state you're in. It's the people around you that observe these things. So I think the stigma needs to be removed from the onset.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.